Welcome to day 285 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to read Matthew chapter 11. And this particular chapter holds a fascinating story about John the Baptist that we will discuss today in our devotional. So beginning at Matthew 11, starting at the first verse. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and the one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we heard this very fascinating story about John the Baptist. Now, you will recall that John the Baptist held a very important position when he essentially announced about Jesus when he came there to be baptized by him, that he saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove come down and rest upon him. And then the scripture tells us the heavens were opened and a voice spoke and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And later on, John testified that the Lord had shown him that the one upon whom the Spirit descends upon is the one that God had sent, the Lamb of God. And John indeed told other people, "There is the Lamb of God." So here's this man who has been sent as a forerunner. Jesus said he was the one that fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah gave, is that God was going to send someone before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus testified John was that person, that he fulfilled that scripture, that that was his job. And John even testified about himself from another passage of scripture referring to that forerunner who had come before the Messiah, saying that he was the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." So we know that John knew his job, which was to announce the coming of the Messiah. And then we know that John saw literally the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove and rest upon Jesus, and that was the sign the Lord had given to him that would mark that person that was the Messiah to him, so that he, as a prophet, would know who that one was and be able to announce and proclaim it to other people. So how is it we find a very different John in this 11th chapter of Matthew, where he has to send his disciples, because he was imprisoned by this time by Herod, and he sends word through his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" What happened to that confident, bold prophet who proclaimed, "There is the Lamb of God," and now he is wondering if he got it right, whether he had fulfilled his commission to the Lord of announcing and proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. So we see a very challenged or maybe confused John the Baptist in this particular scene. I want you to remember why it was that John was imprisoned, because that plays into this particular story in a strong way. Remember that John was very bold, and we'll hear more about his boldness when we read from some of the other gospels, but he was a man that didn't mince any words. When people came to him out in the wilderness to be baptized, he calls them brood of vipers. He was referring specifically to the religious people. "Who told you to flee from the coming wrath, you brood of vipers?" So he wasn't exactly a diplomat, for sure. And then he did something that was even bolder than rebuke the Pharisees publicly at his baptismal place on the Jordan River. He openly criticized and called out Herod for an ungodly and immoral liaison that he made when he took the wife of his brother Philip and married her. He sent away his own wife. He had an Arab wife, and he sent her away. And that was going to cause him some problems also. But he sent her away, and he took Philip's wife, whose name was Herodias, to be his wife. And John the Baptist openly confronted Herod, who was the Roman appointed ruler of the Judean area of Galilee. And he told him, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. He called him on his immoral conduct, which was so bold because he could have had him killed in an instant since he was the ruler directed by the Roman Senate to be the one ruling over the area of Galilee. So he had power, and he could have taken John's life in a moment simply for those words that he spoke. And indeed, those bold words would eventually cost him his life, because Herod's wife, Herodias, was a spiteful woman, and she was so angry when John confronted them about their immoral marriage that she was determined to have him killed. Herod wasn't as anxious to kill John the Baptist. In fact, he even liked to listen to his preaching, the other gospels tell us. So there was a mixture in Herod. He was a man that liked to listen to John preach, but at the same time wasn't happy with being confronted with his own sin. So he had an inward struggle there. But his wife Herodias was determined to take John's life. And eventually she succeeded in tricking her own husband into making a foolish oath that would eventually allow Herodias to get her way and to have John the Baptist beheaded. But back to John. Why is it that John, who's now in prison because of this situation of calling out the sin of Herod and Herodias, why is it that while he's imprisoned, he's struggling with whether or not Jesus is the Messiah when he announced that he was when he baptized him at the Jordan River? Well, imagine a man who has spent the majority of his adult life, though he was young still in his early 30s, being the same age as Jesus by only a 6-month difference. He was a man who had become accustomed to living in the wide open spaces in the wilderness. Now he's confined to a wretched prison cell with rats and no sanitation, and it's dank and dark and absolutely unsanitary with no natural light, and it just seems like it's an impossible situation, and John most likely knew he would not get out of there alive. So why is he now doubting? Imagine someone who's used to that type of open spaces now confined to a small cell. So he's rehearsing in his mind all that he's done in his life and realizing that if he was right in proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah, and he also had been preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's very possible that he thought that the Messiah would free the Jews from the Roman oppressor. And with that would also come release for him from prison, among other things. And when Jesus didn't become a political agent of anyone's, he didn't confront Herod. He didn't confront the wickedness that Rome perpetrated against the Jews. He didn't even get involved in any of that. In fact, he ministered to the poor, the downtrodden, the cast-offs of society, the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the sinners and the lepers and the lame and the blind. He was fulfilling messianic prophecies of one type, which said in the book of Isaiah that he would come and set the captives free and give sight to the blind and proclaim the good news to the poor. He was fulfilling those prophecies, but there were other prophecies that spoke of God restoring Israel and doing great things with the Messiah in the lead. So they were focused on this powerful Messiah that would deliver them from bondage and cause all their enemies to flee, which are prophesied about but were not yet fulfilled and weren't being fulfilled in Jesus at this time when he was walking on the earth, because he had come as the gentle, loving Messiah who would deliver and set free and show the love of God and not the wrath of God. So it's very possible that John was a bit confused by Jesus's behavior. He didn't look like the one that they had expected. He wasn't doing the things that they expected of the Messiah, and he most assuredly wasn't confronting the political establishment. He wasn't confronting Herod even as much as John did. He wasn't confronting the Romans. He wasn't even getting involved in the political arena at all. But instead, he was preaching good news to the poor, setting captives free, giving sight to the blind, and preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And perhaps as he sat in that dark prison cell, he wondered whether his purpose had been fulfilled, whether he had misread every sign, whether he had proclaimed the wrong Messiah. There are moments when even great leaders like John the Baptist have a bad day, have a moment of questioning their own abilities and their own work and what they've done in their lives. So it was with John the Baptist. Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? The man who had proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God," was now like, are you him or not? Or am I totally confused? Or was I wrong at the Jordan River? He was under pressure. He was no doubt in a miserable state physically and wondering whether he had actually fulfilled his God-given purpose in announcing Jesus as the Messiah. If we judge John the Baptist just on this one moment in his ministry where he questioned his own judgment and questioned whether Jesus was the Messiah, if we judge John the Baptist's ministry on that one event in his life, we would say that John didn't end very well. But you know, Jesus's assessment of John the Baptist was not the same as perhaps ours would be. Instead, Jesus gave the highest praise to John the Baptist even after he just received this question about his own messiahship from John through his disciples who had come to ask him the question John sent them to ask. So here is John sending Jesus such a message that questioned him, and yet Jesus's response about John was a major tribute to John's character and John's calling. Jesus told them, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist." That is a powerful tribute that Jesus gave to John the Baptist. And he went on to say that he was Elijah the prophet who was to come. It was prophesied that one would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah as a forerunner before the Messiah. And Jesus said that would be him. So what an amazing tribute. And Jesus didn't take away anything from John because he had a moment of doubt or questions about his identity. You know, when a leader has a bad moment, a bad season, a struggle, a doubt, a faith fight for his own personal life, It's not the time to write him off. It's not the time to say, this guy isn't ending well, look at him. It's not the time to cast him aside as not valuable and to paint the whole of his ministry or career as being worthless because of a moment of struggle in that person's life. And I say that because if we judge John the Baptist by that standard, we would write him off as he failed. Look at him. He ends up in prison and then he doubts the Messiah himself, his own cousin, Jesus, that he was even the Messiah after he had proclaimed that he was sometime earlier. We cannot write off any person because of one incident in their life or one struggle that they had. The sum of a person's life and value is not in one failure. And yet, as human beings, oftentimes we do exactly that. A person has a failure or a moment of struggle, and we write them off as, look at them, they're weak, and that's it. And we don't value the ministry, the work that they've done. Even Jesus himself, after being questioned by John about his identity as the Messiah, gave him the highest praise. He was able to overlook that moment. He understood the pressure he was under. He understood the question that he would have at this moment, that Jesus wasn't fulfilling the expectations of people about the Messiah, that he didn't look like that Messiah they were expecting. So he didn't even give it a second thought, and he didn't say that, John, you're just worthless. Look what you've done. Now you're questioning even what you said yourself, that I'm the Lamb of God. And I bring this to your attention because as human beings, we so often do this. We have seen over the decades in the media this exact thing. People being built up in the media, and then they find one failure, one struggle, one weakness in the person, and then they tear that person down. And it's an amazing thing, but it's sinful human nature to do that. And I want to just encourage you, if you know someone who's having a struggle, who's had a bad season or a bad moment in their life, do not assess their entire character or all their ministry or who they are by one bad season or one bad struggle that they've gone through. Pray for that person. Lift them up in prayer. Ask God to give them grace. Ask God to pull them out of that. Help them. Don't judge them. Pray for them. Jesus said himself, I didn't come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. And Jesus wants us to have his character. He didn't judge John for that moment of weakness and questioning him. He praised the ministry he had, the calling that he had, and the fact that he did fulfill it. And he didn't take away anything from it because of that moment of doubt that he had. So let us be kind, gentle, and non-judgmental with people, but pray for people if you see them struggling or going through a rough season in their lives. God wants to lift them up. He didn't tear John down. He built him up with his words. Let's take that same pattern that we see in Jesus's life and do it in our lives. God bless you and give you a victorious week.